The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the golden age of radio, John Danner stars as Paladin in Have Gun, Will Travel, and Frank Sinatra is Rocky Fortune investigating a shipboard jewel robbery. Stay tuned for the golden age of radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, Frank Sinatra is Rocky Fortune investigating a shipboard jewel robbery. Right now, John Danner is Paladin on this episode called The Gunsmith on Have Gun, Will Travel as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Killers laugh at the law in a town. It isn't long before they take over. That's happening in your town, mister. What are you going to do about it?
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Danner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875. The Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Mr. Paladin. Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Paladin.
Well, you're looking very pleased with yourself, hey boy?
Oh, well, a big wedding will happen.
Wedding? Whose wedding? Not yours.
No. Cousin to hey boy.
Oh.
It's a Chinese wedding. Many people must be celebrating.
Well, that's fine. I'd say, by the way you're acting, that this doesn't happen too often, huh?
No, Mr. Paladin. Does not happen often. Oh, hey boy, very happy. Make many preparations. Everybody have a good time. You have come to wedding?
Hey, boy, if I'm in San Francisco, I guarantee I'll be there.
Yes, sir.
You just let me know when and where.
Oh, very good. Yes, sir. Hey, boy, let you know. I go now.
No, wait. Wait a minute. Didn't you want to see me about something?
Oh, yes, sir. Almost forgot the telegram come for you.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, let's see.
You send the answer?
Yes. Tell him Have Gun, Will Travel.
This is Frank Knight speaking for the world's most honored watch, Longines. In the conquest of the Old West, men won fame through feats of bravery and daring. Today, things are different, but fame can still be won. How wonderful to win a Nobel Prize in science, a Pulitzer Award in literature, an Olympic gold medal in sports. These great honors are symbols of achievement. Did you know that Longines watches have won more great public honors than any other watch in the world? This is true. The highest authorities have ranked Longines watches as the finest achievement in the science and art of watchmaking. Yet a Longines, the world's most honored watch, styled with distinction, cased in precious metal, promising a lifetime of faultless timekeeping, is not costly. Many models are priced as low as $75. Visit your authorized Longines Whitnor jeweler. He will be honored to serve you.
The telegram took me to a town near the Nevada border, and when I got there, my job was completed swiftly, without bullets. I collected my fee and started the long ride back to San Francisco. The third day brought me to a town called Woodland, nestled in the foothills of the Sierra Nevada range. It was like 1,000 other towns, one dusty street with boardwalks on each side, flanked by rows of wooden false-fronted buildings and the inevitable saloon and general store. I decided I might as well get some supplies. Hello? Anybody here?
Oh.
What?
Help me. Please.
Oh, well, here. Let me help you up. Get you to a chair.
Oh.
Well, easy. Easy now. There.
Please, a doctor. I need a doctor.
What happened, old man? Who did this to you?
Get the doctor, please.
Where is he?
North Street, a white house.
A white house. I'll get him and be right back. For 3 days, the little old man hovered near death. I found out his name was Hans Riker and that he owned the store. I also found out he was alone and needed help, so I decided to stay on. On the fourth day, the doctor said Hans was going to be all right, and by the end of the week, he was beginning to move around.
Give me a cup. I pour you some more coffee.
Thank you, sir. Well, good to see you up and around, Mr. Riker. You better take it easy. Remember what the doctor said.
What does the doctor know? She asked him, is a man going to live or die? And he will tell you he doesn't know. So, the man lives or he dies. Either way, the doctor can say he was right.
Well, just the same, you're not as strong as you may think you are.
Yeah, that is true. I am not strong, but I would not be here at all if it were not for a man named Paladin.
Ah, I did nothing, Mr. Riker.
Well, that, of course, is nonsense. And I want you to know that an old man is grateful.
Well, I did only what anyone would do.
Well, perhaps I am more cynical than you.
Perhaps you are. Mr. Riker.
Huh?
Will you tell me now who did this to you?
Yeah, that is not important. Not now.
It is to me. Who beat you? Why?
I'll show you something now, my friend. Show you something only a few people have seen. It is what is in this box that causes my fear. You will open it, please.
Oh. Beautiful.
Take it out. Look at it closely.
Well, that's wonderful craftsmanship. It's wonderful.
It's a good gun, yeah?
It certainly is. The balance is perfect. It's just perfect. Where'd you get this gun, Mr. Riker?
You see me now as a storekeeper, Mr. Paladin. But in the old country, in Germany, I was a gunsmith, and a very good gunsmith.
You made this gun?
Yeah. I have made many hundreds of guns in my lifetime. And to the one you hold, I crafted a mate.
A twin?
Yeah. Mm. A twin.
You spoke of a fear, Mr. Riker. What fear?
Well, to a lifelong friend, I gave the twin weapon, crafted by my own hands, and it killed him. It exploded the first time he shot it. There was a flaw somewhere that I did not see, and my friend died.
Well, you shouldn't blame yourself for that.
The day my friend died, I swore never to make another gun, Mr. Paladin, and I have not. No, I sold my guns, all of them but the one that you hold, and came to America.
I see.
Then, 2 weeks ago, a gunfighter was called Link Doby, rode into town, and he found something he wanted here. A gun.
This gun?
Yeah, that gun.
Well, how did he know about it?
Well, one of my friends I have showed it to. He was drinking too much, and he talked loudly. And at first, this Link Doby was nice. He asked me to sell the gun to him, but I couldn't do that.
Oh. Then what?
Then he went back to the saloon and drank, and then he came back again and asked me, and then,
when I still said no, he beat me.
Why didn't you just give the gun to Dolby, Mr. Riker? You said yourself it's defective.
Nein. I said the twin to this gun has a flaw, but this gun here, it is perfect.
What about the law here?
Sheriff King, he's like me. He's old, and a man like Dolby, a gunfighter. The sheriff cannot stop him. No, everybody here, they are afraid of Dolby.
I think I'll talk to Sheriff King.
Nein. Yeah, you have done enough, my friend. Please, do not concern yourself with this. I will give Dolby the gun.
No, don't do that. Not yet. First, let me see what I can do.
Drop in. Let your hospitality show you're sociable in the modern manner. Pepsi, you know, is the favorite of the smart and young at heart.
Be sociable. Look smart. Keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable. Have a Pepsi.
Have you tried a Pepsi lately?
The sheriff's office sat defiantly alone in Woodland, faded and old, like the man in it, who sat with his feet propped on the desktop that had been scarred by too many years. And he looked at me with pale blue eyes, dimmed and defeated by age.
So, that old fool went and hired a gunslinger, eh?
No, Sheriff. Mr. Riker didn't hire anybody. I'm here on my own.
Well, now, why don't you just turn around and leave on your own?
I'll leave when I find out what's going to be done about this.
What's done is my business, mister, not yours.
I'm making it mine. Now, what are you going to do?
What do you expect me to do?
Get Dolby.
Now, you listen to me, Mr. Paladin. Things was all right here till you come in. We ain't had no trouble.
You say you had no trouble, Sheriff. Well, maybe not. But you don't know what trouble is until a man like Link Dolby laughs at your law. And he's going to keep right on laughing until he gets sick of it. And then he's going to start shooting. Maybe one of the people he kills will be a tired old sheriff.
Now, wait a minute.
And then he'll leave your town, Sheriff. And he'll only be the first. There'll be others, dozens of them. Because this will be the town they know they can buffalo.
Come over to the window, Paladin. You see that street? It ain't much, but it used to be. Just a few years ago, there wasn't a man or woman walked down that street. Didn't have a lot of respect for me. And then all of a sudden, the gunfighters found out I was old. Couldn't handle a gun no more. They started coming, and I was afraid to stop them.
Sheriff, the man that says he isn't afraid is either a liar or a fool.
Thanks, Paladin. But there ain't nothing I can do. Not no more.
All right, Sheriff. Then I'll handle it. Dolby will be leaving town tomorrow, one way or another. I'm looking for a man called Link Dolby. Is he here?
I'm Dolby.
My name is Paladin.
Well, what you got to say to me, mister?
A few days ago, you beat an old man, Dolby. You beat him, and you told him you were going to kill him if he didn't give you a certain gun.
Oh, that's none of your affair. That's between old man Riker and me.
Not anymore, Dolby. I represent Mr. Riker. And you're going to have to kill me to get that gun you're after.
Look here, I got no cause to have no shootout with you.
If I haven't given you cause yet, Mr. Dolby, maybe this will.
Oh. Why, you. I'll kill you.
Now you have cause, Dobie. But I'm going to let you off. I'm going to let you leave town tomorrow morning by 8 o'clock. That's how much time you have to get out. Tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock.
Germs of all, upstairs, downstairs, or in the hall? No, they're in the bathroom. And to wipe them out, indeed, a little dash of Lysol's all you need.
Did you say that a little dash of Lysol brand disinfectant wipes out bathroom germs?
I distinctly said bathroom germs.
Yes, ladies, a little Lysol in your cleaning suds is the really easy, modern way to clean your bathroom each week. Because Lysol makes your favorite cleaners work better, including many that claim to sanitize. Lysol kills disease and odor-causing germs, many deadly viruses, too. Disinfect from one cleaning to the next as nothing else can. Use Lysol, either the new pine-scented or regular, next time you clean the bathroom.
My dear boy, I distinctly said the bathroom. A little dash of Lysol does it all.
Costs as little as 29 cents.
I had breakfast with Hans Reicher the next morning, which was quite an experience. Hans called it Gabel Frühstück, or a knife and fork breakfast. It consisted of eggs, bacon, sausage, hot rolls, soup, and potatoes. It was a good start for any day.
You do not eat, Mr. Paladin. It is the German way of cooking you do not like.
It's the German way of cooking I do like, but there's a limit to what a man's stomach will hold.
Ah, but you do not eat much. Already I have eaten more than you, and you are young. You should eat more than me. I think perhaps it is the trouble with Link Dobie. I cannot stop you from doing this thing, my friend.
Oh, I don't think there'll be any showdown. Dobie is brave when he knows he can win. I doubt that he's in town now, but I better make certain. You stay here, Mr. Reicher. I'll check the livery stable to be sure he's gone. Dobie's horse wasn't at the livery stable. But just to be sure he'd left town, I went to the hotel. The clerk told me Dobie had checked out at 7 o'clock that morning. I headed back for Hans Reicher's.
Paladin!
Huh?
Paladin!
Oh.
Dobie, I seen him.
Where, Sheriff? Where'd you see him?
I was just coming out of my office. I seen him sneak into Riker's place.
Riker? Come on. Mr. Riker? Mr. Riker? Mr. Riker, where is he?
The gun.
Where's Dobie?
The back, out back, he has the gun.
Sheriff, get the doctor. I'm going after Dobie.
Hold it, Paladin. Huh? Don't you even breathe. Now you do exactly what I tell you. Put that gun in your holster. Real easy, like don't move fast or you're dead. That's the way. Now you turn around. Now, you're looking me in the face, Paladin. And you're gonna die. Talking so big, make me eat dirt in front of all them people. You ain't so big now. Just about my size. That's the way I like it.
You should like it. Hiding there, showing on your face, and the gun you stole.
You better draw, Paladin. For
Because you ain't never going to get another chance. Now!
Dobie.
Paladin.
Yeah, over here, Sheriff.
I heard the shot. What happened?
That was no shot, Sheriff. The gun he stole from Hans Riker blew up in his face.
And so once again, after so long a time, I got out my tools and I worked on a gun. After you left me yesterday, I worked on it, Mr. Paladin. And into the night I worked, and I created a flaw that would make the gun blow up when it was shot.
Well, why didn't you tell me this morning, Mr. Riker, when I had breakfast with you?
Well, I did not think I should. You told me you did not wish me to give him the gun, and I fixed it because I feared for you. If Dobie had killed you, then I would give him the gun.
So when Dobie came into your place after I left, you thought he had killed me.
Yeah, I was afraid, and I gave him the gun, but he hit me anyway. He was very angry.
Mr. Riker, you saved my life. I thank you.
Gratitude from the heart is more valuable than gold. Is that not so, my friend?
Yes, Mr. Riker. That is so.
Package come for you, Mr. Paladin.
Hmm? Oh, thank you. Hey, boy, what's the matter with you? You look terrible.
Oh, you notice, huh?
Notice? I'd have to be blind not to. What happened?
Oh, well, you remember a wedding I told you about a long time ago when you could not attend?
Yes, I remember.
Yes, a wedding happened.
Well, what does that have to do with your condition now, hey, boy?
Oh, wedding was a Chinese, Mr. Paladin. At a Chinese wedding is much celebrating, many people, many things to eat. Many things to drink.
Oh, you needn't go on, hey, boy. I think I understand.
Oh, please, Mr. Paladin, not a laugh so loud. Honorable head fall off. Wee, you take a package now.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. One moment before you go lie down, though, hey, boy. There may be an answer required.
Yes, Mr. Paladin. Oh, a beautiful gun, Mr. Paladin.
Yes, hey, boy, it's an exquisite gun. Oh, here, there's a note. My friend, these hands once again broke a vow and crafted a gun. The hands have not lost their touch. Please, you will accept this from a grateful old man. Signed, Hans Riker.
Oh, very nice, Mr. Paladin. You send answer?
No, hey boy. No answer.
Are you a game fan? Do you like bridge, perhaps, or checkers? How about these games? Are you familiar with them? Games like Spell It, What's in the House, Can You Take It, and Next on the List. These are highly entertaining games concocted by Art Linkletter, who says, what's a party, especially a house party, without games? There's fun following house party guests as they give their all and vie for a variety of exciting prizes. You'll meet celebrity guests, too, and chuckle over hilariously uninhibited remarks from Art's panel of youngsters. You're cordially invited to join the party, the house party, each weekday right here on CBS Radio. The welcome mat's always out at Arthur Godfrey time, and the Gale and Drake show, too, both sending still more easy listening your way weekdays. They're always well-stocked with entertaining chit-chat about this and that, plus sparkling music. House Party, Arthur Godfrey Time, and the Gale and Drake Show. Light, bright listening in the distinctive pattern of programming you always enjoy when you're tuned to this station and CBS Radio. Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars John Daner as Paladin. Hey Boy is played by Ben Wright, who also appeared as Hans Riker. Tonight's story was written by Ray Kemper. Featured in the cast were Ralph Moody as the Sheriff and Lawrence Dobkin as Dobie. Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.
You're listening to The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY, starring John Daner as Paladin with a broadcast of Have Gun, Will Travel from April 26, 1959. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s. When The Golden Age of Radio continues, I'm Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. There's been a shipboard jewel robbery, and Rocky Fortune is on the case on the Golden Age of Radio.
Frank Sinatra, transcribed as Rocky Fortune. NBC presents Frank Sinatra, starring as the footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune.
Sometimes my friends ask me, Rocky, why can't you hold a job? That's a good question. And I don't know the answer. Maybe I just get restless or something. Anyway, whatever it is, me and steady employment don't get along. Now, you take the last job I had, steward on a big luxury liner from Bermuda to New York. I figured I'd like to see the ocean, you know? And a couple of guys were trying to help me, too. Only they wanted me to see it the hard way, from the bottom. Pardon me, Miss Nightingale. This is sick bay, isn't it?
Yes. Something wrong?
My heart is going pitter-pat.
I beg your pardon.
Nothing, Blue Eyes. I'm the steward from A-Deck. I came for the pills.
Pills?
The Dramamine for Lady Jupesnoot. You know, the Duchess in A7.
Oh, you mean Lady Harkness.
Yeah, anything you say.
Oh, you'll have to wait a moment for Dr. Harper. He'll be back.
That's too bad.
Is something wrong, Mr.
Fortune. Rocky Fortune. No, why?
Oh, you keep staring and winking.
Oh, I just got something in my eye. I'm just trying to wink it out.
Well, you better let me take a look.
Yeah.
Oh, just sit down there in the light.
How's this?
Now, lean closer.
Like this?
A little closer.
Does this make it?
That's too close. Now, which eye is bothering you?
Right now, both. Try the left one.
Open wide. Your eyes, I mean.
Oh.
Don't be fresh.
Don't be so beautiful.
I don't see a thing.
I do.
Please, Mr. Fortune, you're not cooperating.
I don't even know your name.
My name is Helen Travers, R.N.
For real nice?
For registered nurse.
Yeah.
Now, about the eye, do you mind if I wash it out?
Honey, you can do anything you want. Would you like to take out my tonsils or saw me in half? Anything, just name it.
You're impossible. Hold still. There.
Ow!
That's for being so fresh.
Something wrong, Miss Travers?
Oh, hello, Doctor. The steward would like some Dramamine.
Oh. Seasick? You don't look well.
I haven't looked well since I was 9. It's for a passenger in A7.
A7? That's Lady Harkness, isn't it?
That's right.
I'm afraid I can't give you any more.
What's wrong, Doc?
The chief steward was up less than an hour ago to get some Dramamine for Lady Harkness. Stuff isn't candy, you know.
The chief? He just sent me up.
There must be some confusion here. I think you'd better check.
All right, Doc.
Sorry.
Not at all. It was a pleasure.
I hope your eye improves.
Yeah, the wash seemed to help it a little bit. Say, maybe I could come back later on for another eyeful.
I'm afraid my boyfriend wouldn't approve.
Anybody I know?
Yes. Yes, the chief steward. Goodbye, Mr. Fortune.
I walk out on deck, still thinking about Helen Travers, RN, which stands for Registered Knockout, and leg it down to A deck. I get my hand on the doorknob of A7 when I hear something which ain't exactly music. Lady Harkness! Lady Harkness! Open up! Open up! When nothing happens, I put my shoulder against the door and heave. When nothing happens, I try the knob, and it opens. I practically fall into the cabin, which is dark in the inside of a coal miner's boot. The reason I fall is quite simple. Lady Harkness is stretched out on the broad loom like a dead lizard. I take one look and reach for the phone. Give me the ship's doctor, honey. Hurry. Hello, Doc. This is Rocky Fortune. I'm in cabin A7, and the place looks like Act 2 of Arsenic and Old Lace. You better get down here before... Oop. Has been hiding behind the door when I come in. I never know what hits me. The top of my head exploded and the floor kept coming up to meet me. Only it took a long time to fall, and I must have had some crazy dreams on the way down.
Rocky!
Huh? What?
Up here, on this cloud.
Well, Helen, how'd you get away up there?
I flew. Come on up.
How?
Fly.
Are you kidding?
Try it. You can fly. Spread your wings.
Holy mackerel, I got wings.
Flap harder.
I can't make it. Maybe I've been grounded.
Try again. That's it. Flap harder.
I'm off the ground. Hey, I'm falling. Helen. Helen, I'm falling. Helen. I'm falling. Helen.
Take it easy, Rocky.
My wing, I can't fly.
Who can? Come on, snap out of it.
Hey, where am I?
In sick bay.
What happened? My arm...
Your arm is in a cast.
How come?
You must have fallen and sprained it. Dr. Harper told me to put a temporary cast on it, just in case it's badly hurt.
Gee, feels like lead. What hit me?
I don't know. We found you stretched out on the floor of Lady Harkness' cabin.
Well, how's the patient? I'll say, you look awful.
We've been through that already.
Oh. How do you feel? Arm hurt?
Not bad.
Yeah, let's have a look, huh? Well, it's a nice job, Miss Travers.
Thank you, Doctor.
Oh, Fortune, if you can make it, the captain would like to see you.
What's on his mind?
Well, I don't know for sure, Mr. Fortune, but I guess it's the $50,000 worth of jewelry that was stolen from Lady Harkness.
I staggered down to the old man's cabin, feeling like somebody left me in one of those fancy washing machines with the dial set on rinse dry. When I get there, the reception committee included Lady Harkness, who is about 60, wears a tweed suit, and talks like an English Tallulah. The chief steward, who looks like a clothing dummy, and the old man. 350 pounds of human meanness.
Close the door, steward.
Aye.
I believe you know Lady Harkness.
Aye, aye.
And the chief steward.
We've had the pleasure.
Sit down.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is this the man you saw, Lady Harkness?
Young man, would you mind bending over?
Me?
You, up to it.
Okay, but what for?
Well, you see, it was dark, and I'd been asleep. When I opened my eyes, I only saw this strange man leaning over me. I screamed, and he put a pillow or something over my face before I could get a good look at him.
Is this the man?
Well, it might be, Captain.
All right, Fulton. Straighten up.
Do you mind if I sit down, Captain? I've had a hard tap on the skull.
You will remain standing in the presence of a ship's officer.
Thanks.
No insolence?
Excuse it. Now, would you mind telling me what this is all about?
Fulton, there is $50,000 worth of jewelry missing from this cabin. I don't suppose you'd like to confess.
Confess? Sure. I've been waiting all night to confess. You see, it was like this.
Get this, Mr. Waters.
Yes, sir.
I crept in through the porthole, see? And Lady Harkness here was asleep. I scragged the ice.
I beg your pardon.
Heisted the jewels. She started to wake up, so I smothered her with kisses. Then she screamed. I saw I couldn't escape, so I called the doc on the phone. Then I carefully swallowed the jewels, hit myself on the head with a piece of stale salami, broke my own arm, and passed out. And I'd be very happy to sign a statement.
That's screamingly funny, old boy. How'd you like a punch in the jaw?
Just try it, Hercules.
That's enough from both of you. Mr. Waters.
Sir.
I want Mr. Fortune's belongings searched. If you don't turn up those jewels, you have my permission to comb the entire ship from stem to stern.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Fortune, you may consider yourself discharged. You are confined to cruise quarters.
Just a minute, Captain Bly.
Well?
Don't you think this amateur gumshoe work ought to be left to the law?
Mr. Fortune, in case you are not familiar with the maritime code, on this vessel, I am the law.
I execute a very unflattering salute with my good wing and stagger back to my bunk where I fall into the sack like a dead man. Only trouble is I can't sleep. My head aches, my arm aches, and my heart aches. About 1 a.m. after 3 hours of whirling like a drunken dervish, I climb out of the hammock and head for sick bay, figuring I can pick up some sleeping pills. I get to the sick bay door just in time to hear voices inside.
Don't try to kid me, Dad.
I tell you it's true,
Larry. I tell you you're a liar.
Larry, please.
Nobody's going to double-cross me, Helen, particularly not my own girl.
Larry, you've got to believe me.
I'll give you one more chance to tell me the truth.
But I told you.
All right, baby. You want to play rough.
Larry!
No? Okay.
Larry, don't!
Good evening. Am I interrupting something?
Fortune, get out of here.
You know, Emily Post says it ain't polite to hit a young lady unless she belts you first.
Get out.
You all right, Miss Travers?
Yes. Please, Rocky, do as he says.
Sure. Anything you say. Only before I go, Chief.
Yes.
Here.
Rocky.
Yeah, I suppose they'll hang me for mutiny now. Oh, well, it was worth it. Back to my pad and spend a few more restless hours trying to figure out what goes between Larry the steward and Helen Travers. In the morning, I wake up and head back to sick bay for a checkup on the arm.
Well, how's it feel?
Hurts.
I think I'd better x-ray in case it's a green twig fracture instead of a sprain.
Does that mean you take the cast off?
No. We can x-ray right through the cast. I'd hate to spoil Miss Travers' beautiful work.
Her beautiful work weighs about a ton. How long do I wear it, Doc?
I'll let you know after the x-rays. Just step over here, please, huh? Now, place your arm right here. That's fine. You just hold that, huh? Now. Just hold steady. Ah, good, that's fine. Now, you wait here. I'll go into the dark room and develop it, huh?
Say, Doc, is Miss Travers in this morning?
No. She said she didn't feel well. Had a bad night, I expect.
I expect she did.
This'll only take a minute or two. Just make yourself comfortable, huh?
I sit down and slop my way through a couple of issues of National Geographic while the doc steps into the dark room. After a little while, I have a visitor.
Oh, it's you.
Come on in, Chief. Looking for a little medical aid?
I'm looking for Helen.
Oh, that's a lovely mouse you got under your eye. Did you bump into a door?
Very funny.
Have a seat. The doc's in the closet developing some x-rays.
Is she here?
Haven't seen her. Say, they find the missing jewels yet?
You know darn well they haven't found them.
Did you look in the captain's cabin? You know, I don't trust him. He's a sneaky character.
Fortune, when we get into New York tomorrow, the police are going to have a little talk with you, and frankly, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes.
Chief, I'm going to level with you. If you were in my shoes, I'd throw them away. What's that?
It came from the dark room.
Try that door there.
Locked. There's another door that leads to the office.
Come on. Here. Helen.
Doctor.
Holy smokes.
Is he?
Stone dead.
Dr. Harper.
Take it easy, baby. You can't do him any good now.
What happened?
I don't know. I came in late. I wasn't feeling too good. I remember that he wanted me to change the developing solution because he was going to x-ray Rocky's arm. So I went right into the dark room. First, I thought I was alone. It was so dark. And then I saw him. I saw him on the floor with his scissors and his back. Eric. Larry, he's been murdered.
Take it easy, honey. Come on, Chief. You better notify the skipper. You also better radio the New York Harbor Police to meet us. While the Chief Steward goes over to phone the old man, it suddenly occurs to me that I'd better have a couple of ready answers. So I go back in the little dark room to take another look at Dr. Harper and snoop a little. Just when I think I've struck oil, the skipper barges in.
Fortune!
Yeah?
I don't want anything touched.
Just window shopping, Skipper.
You are under arrest.
What's the charge, or don't you need one?
The charge is murder.
Now look, Captain.
You will be placed under guard in the forward lazarette until the police board ship.
Just what makes you think I slipped it to Dr. Harper?
You were alone with him when the chief steward arrived.
He was in the dark room.
You had plenty of time to kill him and go back to the examining room. And you'll have plenty of time to pay for it, too. The rest of your life, I predict, Mr. Fortune.
I got news for you, Skipper. As a fortune teller, you got a crack in your crystal ball. Lazarette is a small iron box down in the hold of the ship, just big enough for me, a couple of mice, and a few hundred feet of anchor chain. A couple of deckhands take turns guarding me, which consists of sleeping on a little cot just outside the bulkhead door. I get 3 square glasses of water a day and all the bread that me and the mice can eat. I am not happy.
On your feet, Mr. Fortune.
Well, well. And to what do I owe this pleasure?
To the fact that I want to talk to you.
Is that gun just a conversation piece, or do you always carry it?
The captain authorized your guard to carry sidearms. I'm your guard for the next watch.
Just the two of us?
Just the two of us.
How cozy.
Get back against the wall and keep those hands above your head.
Anything you say, Larry.
I'm interested in what you say, Mr. Fortune.
Concerning what?
Concerning what happened to those jewels.
How should I know?
I say you've got them.
You've been smoking Dramamine.
I'll give you one more chance to start talking.
And if I don't?
I empty this gun at you.
Wait a minute, Buster. That's homicide, remember?
I can always say you tried to jump me.
I don't get this. Is there a reward, or are you interested in those jewels for personal reasons?
Just start talking.
Okay, I'll talk.
And make it good.
I'll make it as good as I can. Is this good enough? I had my hands up in the air, and I brought the arm with the cast down on the top of his skull as hard as I could. He went out like a wet candle, and I cracked the plastic cast right down the middle. I was still trying to figure out my next move when I discovered we were not alone.
Put up your hand.
Sure, it's getting to be a permanent position.
Hand me that gun.
Help yourself.
Robbery, murder, assaulting a ship's officer. You know, Fortune, we can make trouble for you.
I suspected as much.
You could save yourself some heartache by confessing where you hid the jewels.
Why don't you ask the guy who heisted them?
I suppose you can identify him.
Your chief steward, sir.
That's an interesting bit of information. Can you prove it?
No.
All right, Mr. Fortune. Back in the lazarette.
Will you listen to what I have to say, at least?
Save it for the homicide boys. They'll be coming aboard when we reach quarantine in the morning.
So I am back in the Bastille with my rodent companions. I spend the rest of the night trying to imagine what it's going to feel like when they sit me down in the Sing Sing Chippendale with wiring by Con Edison. Trouble? You'll excuse the cliche, but it shouldn't happen to two dogs because one dog couldn't handle it all. Along about daybreak, I'm nervously peeling pieces of plaster off my arm when I get the shock of my life. But before I can recover, somebody arrives.
All right, Fortune. On your feet.
I've been on him all night.
Let's go. The police cutter should be here in 15 minutes.
Now, look, Captain, before the gendarmes start working me over, I think I can crack this case.
Uh-huh.
I'm serious. I can trap the doc's murder in just 10 minutes. Will you listen to me?
No.
Well, can I at least get some medical attention?
What for?
This cast is falling off. And I'd hate to appear in a police lineup with a crummy cast. Might look like you twisted my arm.
I'm not an unduly cruel man, Fortune. We'll let the nurse take a look at it.
Attaboy, Captain. I knew that underneath that rough exterior that beats a heart of solid stone. Minutes later, I am in the sick bay, feeling like an oyster which has just escaped from 6 months in an undersized shell and is about to be eaten alive.
Rocky, I was so worried about you.
Hi, baby.
When the captain told me you'd broken the cast on Larry's head, I...
How is he? Oh,
he's sleeping it off in the captain's cabin. Let's get that new cast on your arm.
How about a new arm while you're at it?
Let's get the old one off.
The arm or the cast? Hey, take it easy.
This won't hurt. Here, I'll just tap it a few times with this mallet. And... there.
What's the matter, honey?
Matter? Oh, nothing.
Don't kid me, baby. You look like you just shot 6 holes in the high 80s.
There's nothing wrong.
Suppose I tell you what's wrong.
All right.
The jewels are missing.
What jewels?
The Lady Harkness loot. The jewels you mixed into the plaster for this cast in my arm.
You're crazy.
I'm crazy like King Solomon. You and Larry boy heisted those jewels. Larry did the muscle work and conked me when I came into the cabin at the wrong moment. Then he got scared and passed the jewels to you.
But...
you knew that they'd search the ship, so you put them into that plastic cast on my arm, figuring you'd get them back after the ship made port and we were all ashore. That's why you were so nice and sweet to me. I was worth plenty to you.
You've got it all figured out, haven't you?
All figured out. I even figured out why you knocked off the good doctor.
Tell me. I'd be interested to know.
You didn't plan on us taking any x-rays of my arm in the cast. And you knew the x-rays would show those jewels and they would fix your cute little wagon, but good. So you knocked him off and ruined the plates. I noticed the ruined plates in the dark room.
Finished?
I ran out of gas.
You can save your breath and just put up your hands.
You too? I'm going to need a special game warden if this keeps up.
Get over there against the wall.
My favorite position.
All right. Where are they?
Where are which?
The jewels you took out of the plaster cast.
That's an interesting question.
I'll give you just 5 seconds to provide an interesting answer.
I don't hear you, baby.
One, I can always say you tried to escape.
Such a pretty girl, too.
Two, I'm ready to pull this trigger, Rocky.
Young and tender.
Three, I mean it.
Too young to have to die.
Four.
In the electric chair.
All right. Five.
Hold it.
Grab her.
Go.
Quiet down, miss. You okay, Fortune?
Okay, Skipper. Except for a slight heart attack. You heard what she said?
I was listening through the porthole.
So, what kept you?
Well, I just wanted to give her enough rope to hang herself.
You nearly gave her enough to include me.
Oh, sorry. You know, I must apologize for you.
Mm.
Until you showed me how the jewels had been hidden in your cast, I really didn't believe a word you said.
Forget it. I got a dishonest face.
Well, naturally, if there's anything I can do to make up for it now...
Just one thing, Skipper. About my job. You remember how you threatened to fire me?
Yes.
Well, fire one ready, Gridley, because if you don't, I quit.
Tonight, NBC Radio has presented transcribed Frank Sinatra as that footloose and fancy-free young man known as Rocky Fortune. Others in the cast included Tony Barrett, Lynn Allen, Marvin Miller, Norma Vardon, and Shep Menken. Tonight's script was written by George Lefferts and Andrew C. Love directed. Eddie King speaking. Now, to tell you about next week's adventure, here's Frank Sinatra as Rocky Fortune.
Sometimes I don't know what this younger generation is coming to. Did I ever tell you about the 10-year-old cowboy who held up the stagecoach with a water pistol and got away with 50 grand? Of course, I thought the kid was only kidding. But as the man in the hot seat said, brother, was I in for a shock. I'll tell you about it next week. See you around.
Next week, then, tune in again when Frank Sinatra returns as Rocky Fortune.
south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander, my thoughts ever stray south of the border, down Mexico way. She was a picture in old Spanish lace, just for a tender while I kissed the smile upon her face. 'Cause it was fiesta and we were so gay, south of the border, Mexico way. Then she sighed as she whispered mañana, never dreaming that we were parting. And I lied as I whispered mañana, 'cause our tomorrow never came. South of the border, I jumped back one day. There in a veil of white by the candlelight, she knelt to pray. The mission bells told me that I mustn't stay. South of the border, Mexico way. The mission bells told me, ding dong, that I must not stay. Stay south of the border, down Mexico way.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY. Frank Sinatra and South of the Border from 1953. Frank Sinatra also starred as Rocky Fortune in the case of the shipboard jewel robbery. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows. On the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at the same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.